Well, the good news is, as I just found out from Mark, we are about 5 minutes in to the Olympics. The opening ceremony is underway. I know all six of you are really interested in that right now. You're just like, oh, I can't miss the opening ceremony. Jill, Dr. Jill's there, right? Well, nothing woke yet, Mark, right? Nothing woke you've seen at this point?
Not yet. They said there's about 5,000 media members. There will be about 6,000 athletes, and they said about 1,000 VIP family and friends.
Okay, so 12,000 total.
Yeah, so no real fans in the stands.
Okay, all right. Well, keep us posted, Mark. You're on woke duty this morning for the Olympics. All right. Mark's in charge of keeping us posted on what is happening that is woke at the Olympics, so this way you will be the first ones to find out right here on KCMO Talk Radio. And just like, you know, I like to watch the cable news shows so that way you guys don't have to, and I'll catch you up to speed on, you know, the absurd things that are said oftentimes. I will do the same thing, and we're going to do the same thing here as a public service for you with the Olympics on right now. So instead of torturing yourself, we will be here, keep you posted on the wokeness, on the woke status, who's kneeling for the national anthem, who's you know, really embarrassed to be an American, and we'll just report it here on KCMO and save you the headache. How about that? We are really looking out for our listeners.
Such a nice man.
What can we say? What can we say? All right. Well, good to be with you. Happy Friday morning, by the way. So are we really going to go back in time? Are we really going to turn the clock back? It sure does feel that way. And some people, it feels like, desperately want to do it as well. Now, what am I talking about? Well, headline story, and you know what the Kansas City Star is doing when it does this. Headline story at the Star, Kansas City hospital leaders to call for new mask mandates. Now, politically, this would be suicide, all right? Whether it's Quentin Lucas, the Johnson County folks, whoever it might be, this would be political insanity for them. Now, you might say, well, Pete, it's about the science, right? I mean, it's okay to take a political hit if you're doing something in the name of science, if you're doing something for supposedly the right reasons. Well, maybe that is true. But in this case, I mean, do we forget? This is amazing to me. Do we forget that when you look around the Kansas City Metro, and you know, I mean, we all sat here and lived through it last year, that we started the mask mandate right around the 4th of July last year. And we went from about 200 cases on the 7-day rolling average of COVID around the metro to 507 by the end of the month. So let me get this straight. We basically had metro-wide mask mandates starting July 4th of last year. And just as a reminder on the numbers, we went from 200 cases per day to 500 cases per day. So tell me again why it feels like we are overvaluing masks and then undervaluing vaccines. And that's what it feels like we're doing. Now, here's what's amazing, too, about how the Kansas City Star puts together this graphic that they put together of COVID cases dating back to last March. They have a convenient line on when we reopened the local economy. It was about, what, the start of May is when we opened up the economy. And then they have a line for new COVID-19 restrictions in Kansas City, and they put that for the middle of November. And conveniently, those are the only two lines that they put in place. Okay? That's it. The only two lines that they put in place. But if you were to put a line, because they want to make it seem like, well, reopened and the cases went up, and then we put in restrictions and the cases went down, that's what they want to sell you with this BS bogus graphic that I'll put up on my Twitter and Facebook page later on today. Because I'm going to put in the lines for mask mandates, and I'm going to put in the lines for restrictions, and I'm going to do all that, okay? That's what I'm going to do to point out the hypocrisy of what they're trying to tell you with this graphic as they currently present it to you. But if we are now going to go back in time and start living through mask mandates, how is that going to help people get vaccinated, by the way, right? Like, isn't that the goal right now? The goal right now is you've got four buckets of people, as I've described it. Those who are first in line to get the vaccine, rah-rah vaccine. Group two, which is the group that, you know, I am a part of. Questions, little hesitant, have gotten it recently. That's the group I'm in. Group three is the group that, you know, still hesitant, but open to the conversation and still willing to get it. And then group four is the no way, no how, not getting in. You want to convince group three. How would Kansas City convince the third group of people if they want to go back to mask mandates? How are they going to do that? Tell me how that's going to be something that's going to convince people. So you mean I'm going to take this shot and still have to walk around in a mask? That's your pitch? That's what you're telling me? And I guess leaders would be like, yeah, no, that's kind of what we're telling you. So let's go. It's like, that's not really a compelling case for a lot of people. It's not. So what are you going to do? I mean, how are you going to get them to the point where they're going to do it? Mask mandates are certainly not going to be the answer, John. No way, no how.
I'm getting a MAGA mask.
Oh, baby.
Get that mask off, young man.
Yeah. Oh, man, that's the way to do it.
I think so.
Oh, gosh. Walk around downtown and oh, man.
Nice they'll be red MAGA mask.
They'll be tackling you, John, to rip that mask off your face.
I had a guy that I worked with at Amazon, and he was a driver, and he had a Donald Trump mask. I always thought that was funny.
I'm sure Jeff Bezos loved that. Oh, man, that is too much. So Quinn Lucas yesterday was on the show, the mayor of Kansas City, and, you know, we asked him straight up because there's been, like, these rumblings of could Kansas City or the metro, parts of the metro, go back to restrictions on restaurants, capacity limits. Would that something that they would consider doing? Here is what the mayor said on that very issue yesterday on this show. We said to you, hey, what are the odds we ever go back to the way things were, restrictions and things of that nature? You said very highly unlikely. Has that changed at all as of today?
No. I mean, it was very unlikely before. It remains very unlikely. That doesn't mean we won't work very hard to encourage people to get vaccinated. It doesn't mean that we will eliminate our mask rules at City Hall and other public venues like our Parks and Recreation Department facilities inside. But at the same time, you know, enforcement alone can't solve everything. And by the way, right, you hear us talk about that with drug abuse and addiction and all types of things crime related. It's much the same here, which is that, right, forcing people to comply doesn't necessarily do everything. I do believe that taking COVID-19 seriously is very important for us. But, you know, I do not want to see a return to restrictions and all of that. I think the thing that would lead us there is if you have a precipitous increase, not just in hospitalizations, as we've seen in parts of Missouri, but perhaps in loss of life, and more serious overflow of our medical institutions from Kansas City based and originating cases. And that's what we'll continue to watch.
So that was Mayor Lucas. I believe pretty confident in saying we're not going back to that in Kansas City. Now, there's going to be media that pressures him to do it, right? There's going to be. I mean, some people just seem to want this to never end. They want to just live in perpetuity with COVID or something like that. And it gets back to the idea that what are the goals here, right? Tell me what the goals are. Are the goals to make sure that nobody ever gets COVID-19? Because that's not a realistic goal. Is the goal zero? Or is the goal, hey, slow the spread as much as we can within reason, get a vaccine out, get it to as many people as possible, and then get back to business, right? And by business, I mean a functioning economy with productive members of society sharing in the production of that economy. That's it. I mean, and we're there. We're there. I mean, this whole notion of, well, 98% of the people going to the hospitals don't have the vaccine. Okay. I mean, to me, that's the best sales pitch, right? If they want a sales pitch for getting one, that's the sales pitch. And then outside of that, you kind of let life continue. I just don't know what they want the answer to be. But if you think masking vaccinated people is somehow going to turn the tide or this is going to be the answer here, it's not. It's not. 5767710. We are, of course, on the text line on a Friday morning at 816-576-7710. I mean, if you're someone who's been vaccinated and Now they're going to put a mask on you. How's that going to make you feel? And if you're someone who hasn't, is that really going to be the thing that makes you go get it? Because I'm pretty confident that's not going to be the case. It's not.
I think I would get it if I'm going to lose a game check.
Oh, yes.
That's another story, right?
That is another story. And that story, John, may have had a peek. John might have taken a peek at my rundown for the day.
Uh-huh.
That story is coming up here as well as your calls at 576-7710 on KCMO. Can we take a little bit of credit, just like a little bit, just seeing on Mark Levin's American Marxism debuts this week on the New York Times bestsellers list at number one for nonfiction. Congratulations to our guy, Mark Levin, American Marxism. Also number one on Amazon all week long. All right. We had him on, Monday morning we had Mark on, and then he appears on the New York Times bestsellers list with 400,000 copies sold. How about that? That's not a coincidence, right? No, no way. Comes on the almighty KCMO, and away we go with Levin hitting number one for the New York Times. That's big-time stuff. Big-time stuff. Congratulations, by the way, to Mark, who, of course, is on this radio station every night from 5 to 8 on KCMO Talk Radio. So I don't know if you warned him, John, right after he came on here, that he was going to hit number one, and you know, we can take a sliver of credit for it. What do you think? Just a little bit? Tiny bit?
I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah? How about that?
Quite a few people that are literate.
Oh, yeah.
Carlin Independence brought us a book before, I think, to Politics in a Pint.
That's right. So, that's right. That's Carl's right.
Probably got the book.
Oh, yeah. We've got the listeners bringing out literature to us sometimes at events. So good stuff there. Steve is in Shawnee kicking it off on a Friday. Steve, the mask mandates, could they be coming back to Kansas City? Where you at?
Where I'm at, I will not comply, just like I did before. I mean, the thing about it is this. They're going to try this for a second round, and you're going to have people who are wiser on it, more knowledgeable about it, doing the science, and they're just going to say, you know, pound sand. I mean, we're not going to go with it.
And have you gotten the vaccine, yay or nay, or prefer not to answer?
No, okay. Absolutely not. I talk to my doctor, and She advised me. She even advised me about the pneumonia shot because I'm going to hit 60 here. And I said, no, I don't need it. I don't want it. There's no need for it. I do the science. She gives me advice. And that's the way it is. And I just say, no, thank you. And if it's going to affect me in any way with my job or my existence with the rest of the public, so be it, you know.
So your doctor advised advised you against it?
No, she was all oh, hey, oh, I'm going to oh, get a COVID
oh.
shot.
Oh,
and I said, I okay. looked at her and just looked at her and just shook my head.
Oh, okay.
Because, you know, they're sheep. They're just sheep. And as far as the kids are going, my two boys, we're getting ready to look for a private school. And we're going to figure some way or another because we're tired of this. I mean, Shawnee's talking like, you know, usually in KTK, they're going to mask up. Well, they're starting to talk the talk. I think last night there was some kind of meeting.
Yes.
About the school.
Shawnee Mission. Is that where your kids are in? Shawnee Mission?
Yeah, Shawnee Mission.
Yeah, they're going to be, I think they're going to decide here in the next few days, as I understand it.
Yeah.
And I think they're going to go ahead with it. I do.
Oh, really? You know what? Go ahead and do it. You know what? We're going to go in another direction. And we're tired of this because they ruined my kids, man. I mean, one of my kids is a semester behind now because of grades. And the other one, you know, and this need the in-person learning, and these people are just making it more and more difficult. And you know what's sad about it?
Yeah.
Why isn't the governor, not the legislature of Kansas, why don't they just do choice and then give the parents the money, give the parents the control and empower and be done with it?
I mean, no, school choice, I know. The school choice deal. What's the private, have you looked into it? Just real quick, what's the private school going to run you if you do it?
We saw a couple of things. I was going to send my kid to the military academy in Texas, and it's about $45,000. I think it's roughly around $20,000,
gotcha.
Somewhere around there, give
okay.
or take a half. And it's expensive, but it's well worth it.
Mm-hmm.
As long as they don't try to put a needle in my kid's arm.
I don't think that is. Thank you very much, Steve. I don't think that is part of the equation. It's going to be more about whether or not they're going to make everybody wear a mask. That's what it appears to be like is the decision-making. Nothing yet? Your kids were in Shawnee Mission, Mark. You guys haven't heard anything yet?
Yeah, I think that they're going to go with the CDC guidance once, which will be in elementary school at least.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Mask up.
We'll be finding that out in the next few days from Shawnee Mission. And by the way, yesterday, I think we had a call or a text saying that Independence was not going to have a mask mandate in schools. And we just read it on the air, right? We weren't reporting it or anything like that. But that got back to the Independent school system. They called me up personally yesterday and said, whoa, we have not decided on masks yet. All right, we're a couple weeks out. We have not made a decision. And their first day is the 23rd of August. So if you thought you were off the hook in Independence, you're not. And let's just put it this way. Based on the tone, and they were very pleasant. So I'm not knocking anybody in Independence. They were very pleasant yesterday. But I will say, based on the tone that I got, it's not like they were like, yeah, probably not a mask mandate, but we haven't decided yet. Just wanted to let you know that. No, it was like, hey, we've got a couple weeks and, you know, decisions coming type of deal. So I didn't get off that call yesterday feeling like Independence was not going to have a possible mask mandate. I feel like it's 50-50 at best at this point that they do go down that road. So we'll see. But just so you know, we did mention that yesterday in passing. It was not a topic. It was just a text or a call. I forget which one. But either way, that's where that's at right now. 5767710. Our text line is 816-576-7710. NFL. Yeah, the NFL is going ahead with some pretty strict COVID policies. Not sure if you saw this. Pretty strict COVID policies. So they want everyone to get the vaccine. And by the way, if you do not, your team could end up forfeiting a game. The NFL informed clubs yesterday that if a game cannot be rescheduled during the 18-week season in 2021 due to a COVID outbreak among unvaccinated players, the team with the outbreak will forfeit and be credited with a loss for playoff seeding, per sources. That is from multiple NFL reporters yesterday. So that's got huge implications, by the way. Huge implications. But what's interesting there is it says if the COVID outbreak is among unvaccinated players. Now, we just saw the Texas Democrats who went to D.C., came back, and tested positive for COVID after getting the vaccine. Here's my question for the NFL. What if you have an outbreak amongst vaccinated players? They did the right thing, unless you could specifically tie it back to a vaccinated player or an unvaccinated player, which even if you could, if players get the vaccine and then they find themselves in a situation where they still test positive, how could you make a team forfeit for that?
I think there's two sets of rules at play here.
Yeah, clearly.
Right, because they say if you're vaccinated, then they don't say anything about losing your paycheck. If you have the COVID-19
yeah.
and you're vaccinated and you cause that, you don't lose your paycheck, I don't think, is one thing. The unvaccinated player would.
I don't know about that. Is that true, Mark?
Well, I was hearing more on talk yesterday.
Yeah, I think that's true, and I also don't think that they have to test the vaccinated players. So I think they're testing the unvaccinated ones. So if there's anybody that tests positive that's unvaccinated, then they'll probably test
the ones that are vaccinated. They're on 10-day quarantine.
Yeah.
Okay.
A vaccinated person who tests positive get two negatives in 24 hours.
Okay, interesting. Well, it's going to be fascinating to see how this plays out for the NFL. And I want to get to more of this at 5767710. Coming up, the news is in 2 minutes. Olympics are underway on KCMO. So the NFL has gone all in basically requiring a vaccine without requiring a vaccine. That's what the NFL has done. And, you know, companies are doing this as well. So yesterday, Roger Goodell, the NFL commissioner, wrote that more than 75% of NFL players were at least partially vaccinated, and more than half of the league's teams have player vaccination rates above 80%. So, I mean, that seems pretty good, right? You got 32 teams, so more than half, so at least 16 teams have player vaccination rates. 4 in 5 of the players have gotten the vaccine. Now, unvaccinated players will be subject, as John and Mark mentioned before the break, will be subject to severe protocols during training camp in the regular season, including daily testing, mask wearing, and travel restrictions. So, you know, can't stay in the team hotel, got to walk around in the mask all over the place, got to sit there in the dark film room with a mask on. I mean, that just sounds horrible. I know they had to do it last year, but basically they're trying to make you get it without forcing you to get it. It's kind of what's going on here with the NFL.
They get the little thumb screws going, don't they?
Exactly. Exactly. That's exactly what's going on here. Now, this is fascinating because, of course, if you are a vaccinated player, you're going to be able to travel. You can use the sauna. You can't use the sauna if you're not vaccinated. I mean, that may be a tipping point for some guys. You got to get in the sauna after a tough practice, right?
That's why Hopkins was so upset.
That's right. DeAndre Hopkins, he was not having it. So this is fascinating, too. You've got a couple of pretty prominent players who have pushed back on this. DeAndre Hopkins, wide receiver for the Arizona Cardinals, voiced his displeasure yesterday, saying he is questioning his future in a since-deleted tweet. He said, "Never thought I would say this, but being put in a position to hurt my team because I don't want to partake in the vaccine is making me question my future in the NFL." That tweet was quickly deleted. Leonard Fournette, running back for the Tampa Bay Bucks, also tweeted out, "Vaccine, I can't do it." That was also a quickly deleted tweet. So I'm not bringing this up to say these guys are right or wrong. You know what I have done. You know, kind of where I'm at with the whole thing and what my questions have been, why I decided to do it and all those different things. We've gone over that a million times. But I've also said time and time again, anybody who, for whatever their reason is, hasn't, it's kind of like, okay, as long as you're cool with the risk that's being taken here, whatever your risk level is, then we all have to get back to living our lives. We got to do it, and that's kind of the end of it. That's it. It's over. It's done with. Well, the NFL is saying not so fast. So here's what some of the new policies are here. A forfeit will be called in 2021 if all of the following circumstances occur. A game is postponed by requirement of government authorities or medical experts or at the discretion of the commissioner because of ongoing health concerns of an outbreak. The league can't find a suitable date to reschedule within the 18-week framework of the season. The original postponement was caused by an outbreak among unvaccinated players of one team. So that's what it says here for the guidelines on how ultimately a forfeit could occur. Now, you guys have also mentioned in there that it could be a situation where you lose a paycheck. But what I'm not clear on, it seems like there's been some mixed reporting on who loses a paycheck and why you lose a paycheck. But, Mark, what's the latest report here that you just saw from a guy, NFL reporter?
Yeah, on NFL Network's Tom Palacero, it says, if a game is canceled and cannot be rescheduled within the current 18-week schedule due to a COVID outbreak, neither team's players will receive a weekly paycheck.
Wow.
Oh.
So now you're kind of pitting the vaccinated, theoretically, against the unvaccinated, where vaccinated guys aren't getting a paycheck because there was an outbreak amongst the unvaccinated. The vaccinated also won't get paid. That is going to create an immense amount of pressure, is what that's going to do. I mean, that's like, you know, let's say just with this show, whoever isn't vaccinated, if the vaccinated guys were with this radio station, let's say, with this radio cluster, we've got seven stations here. If vaccinated people weren't getting paychecks, or this could be applied to your office space, right? Let's say you're going to work right now, and you're going to work, and if you're a vaccinated person, you may not get a paycheck, let's say, because of a theoretical outbreak amongst unvaccinated people. I mean, that creates massive discord in a locker room and at a workplace.
Peer pressure
in a big way.
Especially since the vaccinated player may be the person who caused it.
Well, that's what I mean. How do you know?
And that's what I'm wondering. And then are they just going to hunt down the guy on the team without the vax and say, oh, it was him?
Yeah, but that's not fair.
I
think it's because of the testing. They're only going to be testing the unvaccinated players daily. So I don't think that they'll be able to.
But to John's point, if you're only untesting unvaccinated players, then you don't know theoretically if an asymptomatic case entered that locker room from a vaccinated player, right?
Yeah, that's true.
So that's where this whole thing gets so hairy.
Yeah, so the Chiefs things were a couple of close contact ones last year where the person didn't necessarily have it. They were simply exposed.
Yeah. Well, this is going to be a mess for the NFL.
I would say limber up, Pete. They may need a punter out of their head when you go out there.
I like your chances better than mine.
Attention, please. Will any punter report to gate A?
as long as the punter can be 4 or 5 beers deep already, then I might have a chance. you know, that may work as long as the punter can keep his BAC below, like, you know, 0.08 driving limit, whatever that might be. I got a shot. I mean, I could boot it off the side of my foot, you know, maybe 10, 15 yards. That's about all I'm good for.
Might have to go Madden style and just go for it. No punting. Just go for
That's
it every
right.
time.
Go for every fourth down. Go for it.
Yeah. Kick at a line. Kick at a lineman there.
That's great. I'll just try to kick it off the lineman's helmet and there have it go. Bounce another 40 yards. That's what I would do. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it seems wacky, this whole Goodell thing. I can't imagine the union signing off on this with the paychecks getting lost.
Well, that's
anybody, period.
I agree. I don't know how that's going to work. Guys start losing paychecks after they've been vaccinated, they're going to be pissed. And they have every right to be pissed, by the way. That's not going to fly. That's not. By the way, it's 6:42. Do we have an update? Anything woke at the Olympics yet that you've seen, Mark? You are on woke Olympic duty this morning.
Dr. Jill Biden made her first appearance about 15 minutes in.
Oh.
So she got on the screen there. And I don't know who is singing the Japanese national anthem. I don't know who it is. I don't even know the name of the artist. But she did look like a Japanese version of Lady Gaga.
Interesting.
Quite a gown.
Yeah, oh.
Really big.
John can see it over Mark's shoulder there. So you guys keep me up to speed because it's going to air tonight in prime time. But Mark is streaming it live in the studio. That way, anything woke that goes down, we're going to have the first reports of it here on KCMO. As someone says on the text line, by the way, with the COVID cases rising in Tokyo, it's a good thing Dr. Jill Biden is there to help with the suffering. We couldn't make it without Dr. Jill.
Looks like the parade is starting. Afghanistan, we're in the A's.
Oh,
Afghanistan,
we're in the A's.
Walking down.
Masked up. Oh, gosh, they should be pissed off at us, too, the way we're just bailing out of there. The Afghans, I mean, if anyone should kneel for the American flag, I mean, we did help them a lot. But if anyone's got a case to be made, it's the Afghans, as we're just kind of jumping ship. And, gosh, it's gonna get hairy there. It's going to get nasty there. The way we're just bailing on the Afghans. I'm glad they're there, though. I'm glad they're there. Oh, boy. Text line is 816-576-7710. We're at 577-710. All right. Good Friday mood here on the text line. Pete, who gives a flying bleep? I'm not watching football anyway. They can bleep it. Okay. All right. No football for that guy. No football for 5458 on the text line. I'm sorry. I told you guys you got to have an escape, whatever yours is. For me, I still watch football, and that's just my personal choice. As much as this stuff drives me nuts, and it does, I'm not going to lie to you and say boycott it as I like sneakily watch on Sundays. I can't do it. Everyone needs an outlet. All right. Coming up next, Governor Mike Parson was on this show yesterday. I think the only interview he did here in Kansas City that I'm aware of in the last day or so, since he rolled out the COVID-19 incentive program. But what does he want to come out of that? How successful does he think it will be? It seems like even he is questioning that. Yes, I'll explain it. We'll dive into what he had to say coming up next on KCMO Talk Radio. So you all see the headlines, right? You see the headlines like when you go on any website. Pick your website, left, right, middle, news, whatever, sports, doesn't matter. The headline always reads as follows. Expert colon, right? I mean, you've seen them. Expert colon, and then it's just some random person who says whatever they want to be true. And then, well, that means something because they put expert in front of their name. They don't even define the expert in the headline. It just says expert colon, and then you have to go read the story to find out who the supposed expert is. So I don't like to pick on our local news because I think a lot of them do a really good job. I think some better than others. I think Channel 9, KMBC, actually does a great job. So I've given them plenty of credit before, but I gotta rib them on this one. So they did an updated story here yesterday on kind of the back and forth between the Kansas City, Missouri Police Department, the funding, city leadership, state control, local political control, and kind of where we're at because we're kind of in a lull on this story right now. There's not much going on. We're kind of now waiting on the attorneys. They got to rack up the big fees before we go any further. That's kind of where we're at. So here is what they did. They put this headline out, and it read as follows. Expert: public fight over Kansas City police budget won't solve city's violent crime problem. Okay, well, that is true. This is very political at this point. It is a power play by both sides. I mean, the city is basically saying, well, unless we get political control, we can't solve the crime problem. And, of course, the Board of Police Commissioners is like, no, that's not how this works. We are appointed by the governor. This has been in place for a very long time. Now, unlike St. Louis, of course, no longer has a state Board of Police Commissioners because that was on the ballot a few years ago. Kansas City would need, you need about $4 million bucks to get this thing on the ballot and run a campaign around it. So the mayor and those that support this know that they're not going to raise that kind of money for a statewide ballot initiative on this issue. So they're going to try to win in court. That's what this is really about, big picture. They want to get local political control of the police department, and they think they can do it in the courts because they know they can't get the money raised to do it the way the St. Louis did it. So that's what this is about. It is about control. And in the meantime, no one's life is getting saved by this political pissing contest, which is what it is. So anyway, Channel 9 does this piece, expert : public fight over Kansas City police budget won't solve city's violent crime problem. And I thought, okay, that's pretty good. And then I watched the package and I'm like, no, kind of missing the point. I'll play it for you and then I'll tell you who this so-called expert is that they went to.
Michael, this hasn't been about safety. This is about power and who has it.
This is the hill we die on. That's all there is to it. We are not backing down.
Tempers flaring in Kansas City on an issue that's become a national debate.
Defund the police is definitely a slogan that people on all political sides use in various ways to kind of weaponize the issue.
Dr. Rashawn Ray is a sociology researcher and Brookings Institute fellow.
Part of what these cities are doing is they're looking at their budgets and they're saying, is the payoff that we're getting for how much money we're spending? Do we see the proof in the pudding? Do we see crime reductions?
KCPD's budget has grown almost every year since 2015, topping more than $266 million last year before dropping in 2021. The homicide rate increased nearly every year, too, and 2020 was the deadliest year on record.
People who want to see police spending increase perceives that all of a sudden that means that crime will go down. That's not what's happening. They are completely unrelated metrics.
Okay, so that's part of the KNBC Channel 9 package. And the expert here that they went to, Dr. Rashawn Ray, Brookings Institute fellow and professor of sociology at the University of Maryland. Well, I looked up, and this took me all of 30 seconds. I looked up Dr. Rashawn Ray, and his top story on his Twitter page is titled, Bad Apples Come from Rotten Trees in Policing. Adding in part, in policing, people always talk about bad apples. Well, bad apples come from rotten trees. Law enforcement agencies with structural racism. So that's who KNBC went to as the supposed expert on the issue. And that's where you see the headline, expert : and you're like, well, who's the expert that they're using here? Who is being called an expert? And it's someone who clearly believes, when you research the guy in 30 seconds, that law enforcement is based in structural racism. So where do you think that bend is going to be? And this whole notion that somehow, well, I'm increasing my police funding, but my crime is going up, therefore something is wrong. Like, do you not under... I don't know. This is, like, not that complex. But is it that difficult to understand that police officers do not handle criminals from start to finish? All they do is arrest people. That's it. That's the extent of their job. After that, you have a legal system involving a prosecutor who then is supposed to work with a police department to determine whether or not somebody is worthy of being a free citizen and being on the streets. Or if they're a menace to society, then guess what? Something's going to happen and they can't be a free person in a free society. That's how this works. The idea that the cops are responsible for the rise in crime rate anywhere, whether it's Kansas City or anywhere for that matter, How do you identify that? How do you quantify that when all they do is respond to crime that takes place? That's it. And what you want them to do is to respond as quickly as possible, right? Not rocket science. Hey, how quickly can I get a cop here if something bad does happen? That's it. That's the extent of the job. And then, yes, also, of course, arresting people And ideally, you arrest people before something really bad or really tragic happens. But that's it. I mean, we treat these guys like they're all supposed to be Superman. And God bless them. They do noble work. They do work that, you know, 99% of people won't do, especially in today's environment. But I just get stunned when it's like, well, I mean, we spent more on policing in Kansas City over the past year. And I don't know. The crime kept going up. I can't figure out why. I don't know what that's all about. I mean, somebody help me here. It's not that difficult. Once you arrest someone, they go to a prosecutor, and that's it when you talk about the policing side of the job. So as long as this false narrative is put forward, that the answer here is obviously an issue with police funding, and that's why the crime keeps going up. You have really got to be, I don't know, living under a rock to come to that conclusion. I'll put it that way. And that's because I'm being nice on a Friday. Happy Friday, by the way. It's great to be with you at 5767710.
Living under a rock, I'd say you are a rock.
Yeah, that's one way to do it, John. I would say that, too. I would. I mean, that I would say that as well. Because this is this was quite a piece. And then I'm like, well, who's the this is the guy who's the expert now on Kansas City policing. University of Maryland sociology professor. Yep. Definitely the guy you want to be trusting. Definitely the guy. Coming up next, got to get the update on the Woke Olympics, by the way. That started this morning. We'll get to it. Derek Schmitz here in 20 minutes on KCMO. All right, the Olympics underway in Tokyo. They're not airing on TV until tonight. Want to get them in prime time. But we got Mark on the case in the studio. What are we seeing right now, Mark, in real time? How woke is it getting there? What do we got going on?
You know, it's not too bad when it's on mute. So okay. Just putting that out there. If you're not listening to the announcers, you're not getting too much wokeness. But, yeah, they're just doing the parade right now. Djibouti just walked through a little bit ago. Some of these small African countries getting their three athletes in the parade.
Is that it? Is that all they got there?
Yeah. Looks like Sri Lanka's coming around with 9 athletes.
Oh, solid 9 out of Sri Lanka. Okay.
So, not bad.
All right. Not too shabby then to kick things off. Nothing woke yet with Dr. Jill Biden? Nothing along those lines?
Not for sure. I didn't get to hear what she said. So okay. There could be a woke warning there if you're going to watch it later tonight.
Okay.
But, yeah, not too bad so far.
Okay. So far, so good then. We need a full report. The listeners are relying on us to know whether or not, you know, we can allow them to go up there and watch the Olympics tonight, prime time on a Friday for the opening ceremonies. The Olympics, I don't know, maybe I'd feel this way no matter where we were with the wokeness around the Olympics. But I was like really, growing up, I was into it. Even 12 and 16, I was pretty into it. And I think I'll enjoy watching some of the events that I care about, some of the track events, a couple of the swimming events. But it is going to be weird having no fans. And then wondering whether or not, you know, if an American gets in the mix, they'll stand for the national anthem or not is really not something I want to have to think about. But apparently I do. You know, I mean, it's good for business, by the way. You become a star.
Yeah, I still think a lot of the athletes are going to just do the thing where, you know, they're going to have their hand over their heart. They're going to stand up. I still don't feel like there's going to be anybody that's going to go off the deep end. Maybe that's just me personally, just thinking about, like,
American pride in the Olympics. Mark's being way too optimistic here, man.
Young man.
Hey, way too optimistic. I'll tell you what.
There'll be a couple that want to show their ass. So to speak.
Of course they will.
But we should acknowledge, like, the St. Louis shot put people that stood there, that placed,
yeah,
you know, when the woman on the third place did her little thing. We had the other two doing the right things.
So but here's the thing.
We'll highlight some of that.
We don't know who those are, right? We know who the ones are who are going to kneel, and they're going to get 100,000 followers on Instagram and get an endorsement deal out of it.
Hey, look, if we can rock the independents' phones and we can get some plugs for the people who do positive things by bringing them up, I think.
Okay. All right.
Try that through the week.
All right. Well, that's up to you guys then. You're watching
it. How about if
we
score them 1 through 10?
Score them 1 through 10?
Yeah.
What, most American?
Well, if somebody stands there, you know, tear down the eye, that's good for some points, isn't
it? Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Standing at attention. If somebody whips out an American flag and waves it around, that's good for points.
Yeah, someone's got to hug the flag like Trump did at CPAC last year or something like that. Remember that? Trump was hugging the flag after he spoke for 2 hours at CPAC or whatever that was. I think it was last year. That's what we got to get. That'll be number one.
You don't want to get disrespectful, though. If you get too close to the ground with the flag, you got to watch out for your negative points, too.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. We could do that. That'd be a nice Americana thing to do here on KCMO Talk Radio. All right, so you guys are in charge of that, though, because I don't want to have to watch all the Olympics, all right? You guys can do that for us, all right? The listeners are counting on you guys in there. They're counting on you. Speaking of the Olympics, where you're going to have a transgender weightlifter competing. Yes, we told you about that a couple of weeks back. Transgender weightlifter is going to be competing out of New Zealand. Formerly a male, now an alleged female, a self-proclaimed female. Things are just getting weirder, by the way. That's just, like, totally normal. Can't smoke weed, right? Can't have any weed leading up to the Olympics, but keep pumping up that testosterone, okay? Just keep pumping it. Anyway, a federal judge here in West Virginia issued an injunction this week against the state laws barring transgender athletes from competing on school sports teams for their gender identity. So this basically means that West Virginia and the state legislature cannot prevent a man or a male from competing as a female in that state, which is a law that they had passed. A judge has blocked that, federal judge. I mean, this is something that, I get it. It's not going to get a lot of attention here, and I understand that. It's not local necessarily. But the reason I bring this up is because we are living in this bizarre time where even in pretty red states, and that's what West Virginia is right now, where they're like, hey, if you're a male, I'm sorry, we can't have you competing against females for obvious reasons, by the way. You're not a female. Like, that's it. That's the extent of it. You're not a female. You can't compete as a female, okay? But you've got federal judges who are out there preventing this from happening. When I guarantee, just like here in Kansas and Missouri, if you go to West Virginia and you poll the people of West Virginia, or if this was something that was on the ballot, it would probably win by a 2-1, maybe 3-1 margin. Of West Virginians, just like I believe it would here in Kansas and Missouri, people who do not want men competing against women in sports. All right, they just don't want it. But we're living in this strange world where a judge can say, no, I know you're a state legislature. I know you're elected by the people and I'm just an appointed judge. No one elected me. But I'm going to theoretically stop the will of the people because, well, I can, basically, as long and short of it. He can. And that's it. And there's no discussion about it. There's nothing else at this point that, you know, can overrule that for the time being. And we just got to live with it. And we just got to say, well, throw your hands up. Is what it is. And I guess guys can compete against girls until further notice. You know, that's how life's going to work. I mean, what a bizarre time to be living through. And that's how I, because sometimes I get caught in the micro of it and it's like, gosh, this is crazy. But then you got to step back and you got to say, imagine going back 35 years, right? Imagine John's a young man at Baker and John, you're sitting here doing this show 35, 40 years after the fact. And we're having a conversation about how a loud vocal group of people around the country and judges are siding with them, are saying, yeah, it is okay for men to compete against women in sports. How about that? What do you think about that? What would you say to yourself 35, 40 years ago, a young John Anthony? That you should have been a chick, right? Should have competed against the women. Might have had a heck of a career, you know? Could have played college hoops at KU instead of going to Baker or something.
Yeah, I should reflect inward on that, shouldn't I?
Now, back then, Bruce was competing in the Olympics, right?
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Caitlin, formerly known as Bruce, competing in the Olympics. Oh, my goodness. I mean, that was like, who would have? By the way, you want to talk about going back 40 years. Tell them Bruce Jenner, cover of Wheaties boxes. Eventually going to be running for California governor as a chick. I mean, your mind would be blown. Think about that. I mean, talking about going back in time. Yeah, this guy's going to be an Olympic American hero. And then in 40 years, he's going to be running for governor of California as a Republican in a deep blue state. Because remember, back then, of course, you think Ronald Reagan, you think of California being a Republican state. You're going to have the most Democratic state in the country. And Caitlyn Jenner, who was formerly Bruce, who's now a chick, is running for governor of that state as a Republican. Bizarro world.
People would be so confused in 1980 if you told them what was happening in 2021.
Oh, my goodness. 576-7710. We got Derek Schmidt here coming up in a moment on KCMO Talk Radio. Woo! Brad, Northland, real quick. Brad, go ahead, buddy.
Yeah, I don't know. I understand the separation of powers and a judge can overrule the legislature, but if Virginia put that as a vote for the people, could a federal judge overrule that?
Could a federal judge overrule what?
If the people actually voted on it, if they put it on as an initiative.
Oh,
on,
if they put it on as an initiative?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, if you compare it to what happened here in Missouri with this Medicaid expansion, I don't know. I mean, I guess it still could end up in the courts, right? It happened here in Missouri, so I think it probably still could.
Okay.
Yeah.
That seems like a judge shouldn't be over to
no,
override the will of the people that actually voted.
It's not the last you've heard of it. It's not the last you heard of it, Brad. I promise you that. It's just it's a roadblock, but it's an unfortunate roadblock. Thanks for the call, my man. Squeeze in Victor, Parkville. Go ahead, Victor.
Hey, how you doing there, Pete? Yeah, you know, I'll akin this to abortion. This is about the wants and desires of one over the rights of another.
Well said. Well said, my man. I got to leave you on that because we have the attorney general coming up. But that's your mic drop moment anyway. Very well said.
Thank you. Nice job.
Coming up next, attorney general and, of course, Kansas gubernatorial candidate Derek Schmidt joins us on KCMO Talk Radio.
Well, I tried to tell
we are due for a song from Rhonda and St. Joe. Jeez, we're due. I don't know. She may be really prepping the next one hot and heavy, but at some point we'll get it going. Some point.
She called Chris's show last week or a couple weeks ago. Yeah.
She's cheating on us.
I know.
She's cheating on us. I don't like that for a second. Oh, my goodness. John, you got to get on that, man. I don't get what that's all about. Jeez. Oh, boy. All right. Well, Johnson County yesterday, county commissioners had a meeting, and residents were rightfully so up in arms about the idea that they may bring back mask mandates. Oh, yeah. I mean, remember, the whole point, what was the point from the get-go, right? Stop the spread, kind of try to ride this thing out, get us to a vaccine, and then we're off to the races. You've got over 50% of Johnson County residents who are eligible who have been fully vaccinated. It's like 51%. Maybe it's just shy of that, but it's over 50. And still, numbers have obviously ticked up here a bit, but they're not close to where they were last year. I mean, it's not even a question where they are compared to where they were at the peak of last November or so, right? But here we are. It's like people want to do this forever. And suddenly, the goal has not been to get back to a relatively normal environment where we have a vaccine for anybody who wants it. And then, you know, people can choose what is in their best interest and what is best for them. We're not living in that anymore. No, now apparently the goal is zero. The goal is to never have another case of COVID or something like that ever again, which is not a realistic way to live. It never has been and never will be. So the goalposts keep shifting. Here's the report from KCTV5 on how this County Commission meeting went yesterday in Johnson County.
Well, Brad, renewing or creating another mask mandate was not on the agenda for today. Officially, Johnson County is not considering a move like that right now. Still, residents made it clear they're concerned the commissioners could soon change their minds.
This is not normal. This is not how this is not how God created us.
Please do your job and look around and see what the people of Johnson County truly want.
Johnson County does not currently have a mask mandate. The Board of County Commissioners let the order expire in April. Today's public comment section was dominated by people asking the board to keep it that way and to reduce the county's vaccination efforts.
I am the parent, and I make the decision if my child wears a mask or not, is vaccinated or not. My child, my choice.
Some worry the government is doing more than just encouraging people to get a shot.
If you have to get vaccinated in order to not wear a mask, that's coercion.
After members of the public expressed their opinion, County Health Director Dr. Samney Areola gave his regularly scheduled update.
When CDC came out and said those that are vaccinated could resume their normal activities, even though the message was directed at those that are vaccinated, everyone resumed their activity. Everyone was out there. So we knew that the number of cases will increase.
All right, so that's the report there from KCTV5 talking about Johnson County. It's County Commission meeting yesterday. And just, I do want to put this into perspective because for some reason now, the metric that local media wants to use is percent positive. Well, I don't know why that is the gold standard and the data point that we use, right? I don't know why that is. I mean, it would seem to me that cases, hospitalizations, and things of that matter should kind of be where we're at here. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm the one that's missing the boat on this. Maybe it's me.
You look for the biggest, scariest number. You look at all of them and say, ooh, here's the scary big one.
Yeah, or which one's increasing the most, right? Yes. That's the other way you can do it.
Yeah.
So just so you know, case-wise, 7-day, 14-day moving average in Johnson County, which has over 500,000 people now, is 70 cases of COVID. Now, that is, if you want to make this really scary, what you could do is you could say that is 5 times what it was 3 weeks ago, right, when it was only 15. You could do that if you really want to scare people. You could also say that another way to metrically point it out is that that number is down still about 75-80% from the peak back in December. You know, that might be a way to not scare the crap out of people, but that's not the goal here.
Yeah, no, let's not use that one.
No. We want to scare the living daylights out of people. And then, just so you know, I mean, I'm just giving you the information. You do with it what you want, okay? The 14-day moving average in Johnson County for COVID-19 hospitalizations is 2.4. 2.4 hospitalizations in Johnson County in a county of over 500,000 people, all right? That is down from the peak of when it was about 13 hospitalizations per day in Johnson County back on January 4th. It was right between 12 and 13 per day, late December, early January. We dipped down to about, on a rolling average, 1.9 hospitalizations back in June. We're up to 2.4. And you're going to go back to a world of mask mandates and who knows what the heck else? For what? For what? And you're going to do this to kids in the schools? Based on what? To virtue signal? To make adults feel better unscientifically about themselves or something like that? I can't figure it out for the life of me. I really can't. 5767710. Our text line is 816-576-7710. It's good to be with you here on a Friday morning on KCMO Talk Radio, 710 AM, 103.7 FM. And don't forget about the KCMO Talk Radio app as well as you get off and going this morning heading into the weekend. Brian's on KCMO Talk Radio, and Brian is running for the Shawnee Mission Board of Education. Brian, what are you guys dealing with there in Shawnee Mission? I appreciate the call.
Well, I think all the parents are excited to get their kids back into school for the year and have them comfortable instead of coming home like my then second grade daughter with a soaking wet mask every day.
So, I mean, are you running because, Brian, out of curiosity, are you running because of how the last year has gone?
No, I'm not. My actual time thinking about this has spanned at least 3 to 4 years since we were talking about technology in the classroom and how that should be effectively deployed. But obviously, it's come to a head at this point with you know, the board just not being able to make decisions. Parents just want the best education for their kids.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of people believe the last year was not the best education model for children.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad that we got some semblance for some of our kids back to a normal situation where many cities never went back to school. So
now you sent.
I am grateful for that.
You sent a letter, as I understand it, to the Shawnee Mission School District, the Board of Education, superintendent, the administration, regarding, you know, the mask mandates, the COVID policy in general. What did you, if you could give us just some of the highlights around that and how that was received by Shawnee Mission?
I have not received any replies, and I will say that I released it as a public statement. I have not actually emailed it to everybody. Mm-hmm. I work full time. I'm on a commute right now, but I will say that I hope that they read it in the media, and I will certainly, I'll probably get that out to them. But I don't have a response, but I can't guarantee you they've seen it either.
Okay.
But the highlights of the letter really come down to the fact that if you just looked at the Johnson County dashboard over the last 16 months with 100,000 kids aged 0 to 9, roughly, and 100,000 kids
10 to 19. There have been zero deaths. There have been three cases in the ICU in the 10 to 19 group, zero, ages 0 to 9. And I think the total that even got hospitalized, if I remember the numbers, less than 60.
Yeah, 48.
And was it 14 for the 0 to 9 group?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
So I'm like, where's the problem? We as a world, I believe, are incredibly lucky that our children have been largely spared by this virus. I think it's undeniable in the statistics. And I just don't understand why we are insisting that they continue to suffer when there's no fully approved vaccine for them and they're not the ones getting sick.
Yeah. Yeah.
They get infected. I know kids that have got infected and they were bedridden for 1 to maybe 3 days and then they're back in school.
Mm-hmm. Brian Nielsen is a candidate for the Shawnee Mission District Board of Education at large, Shawnee Mission East, class of 95, by the way. Brian, yeah. Thanks for what you're doing, man. I mean, I think a lot of people got to be stepping up to the plate like you, and I wish you well. I wish you well on the campaign trail because we need more people like you on these Board of Educations.
All right. Thanks, Pete.
Thank you.
Appreciate it,
man. Have a
all
great
right.
day. There you go. Bye-bye. I mean, that's just one guy who is stepping up for his community. I know there's a lot of people out there as well who are doing it. I mean, we hear from you, those who are running for school boards and board of educations and things like that. And yeah, I mean, I'm looking at his letter here that he sent to the Shawnee Mission School District Board of Ed, the superintendent and the administration. He's got the numbers March 7th of 2020 to July 20th of 2021, 16 months of tracking. Hospitalizations age 0 to 9 is 14, 10 to 19 is 34. ICU cases 0 to 9 is 0. 10 to 19 is 3, deaths is 0. I don't know who's pushing it. I don't know where it's coming from, the NEA. Maybe it is Sandy Areola, Johnson County Health Director, but it's just not a good deal. It's not. 5767710. The text line is 816-576-7710. We've got more with you. I got to get into the I still got to dive into the Oklahoma-Texas developments for the Big 12 SEC. And Roger Marshall, U.S. Senator. Out of Kansas, coming up at 8:35 on KCMO. Okay, on the text line, Pete, I missed the segment with Mayor Lucas yesterday. Is that going to be on your best of show this weekend? I don't know. That remains to be seen. But here's the thing. If you missed the interview with the mayor, you can catch it on the podcast, all right? Mark works very hard to put together the podcast every day. So wherever you get your podcast, just search Pete Mundo, hit the subscribe button. And all of Mark's hard work is right there, isn't it, Mark? That's where you find it all.
That's right. It's even on our Facebook page. You can see the full interview right there.
Yeah.
Lucas's face right there on our Facebook page. I know it triggers some people, but, you know, there it is for you.
It's right there.
Good comments on there, too.
Oh, sure. And I'm sure. In all its glory. So that's the best way. If you miss any of the interviews from the show, that's the best way to get a hold of it. And by the way, speaking of interviews, we are going to talk to Roger Marshall in about 10 minutes. Got Mike Zinnege. He's running for Overland Park mayor just after 9 o'clock. So busy rest of the morning here on a Friday. Chris DeGaulle is going to be here, of course, at 10 o'clock on KCMO and the KCMO Talk Radio app as well. So yesterday I told you, I mean, this is news that transcends sports, but you've got Oklahoma and Texas, who it came down 2 days ago, are apparently going to bolt the Big 12 and go to the SEC. This is a disaster, by the way, if you're a K-State fan. But if you're a KU fan as well, this is not a good deal. So yesterday what happened is the Big 12 had a meeting with the CEOs of the conference and the athletic directors at 5 o'clock. Guess who didn't show up? Oklahoma and Texas. That's not a good deal, all right? That's like you and your ex agree to go get lunch somewhere, see if you can reconcile, and she doesn't show or he doesn't show. I'll tell you what, it ain't happening, all right? You ain't getting back together. It's a no-go. You're done. You're finished. It's over. That's what happened yesterday for the Big 12. It's done. It's over. Oklahoma and Texas are out. Because a part of me thought, as I was following this, I thought, well, maybe they're just looking for leverage on a TV negotiation. They want to take a higher percentage of a future TV contract than, say, Kansas State, right? That's what I thought might be going on. But when they didn't even show up to the meeting yesterday, that meant that they were done. They're over it. you're not getting back together with them, and it's sayonara, see you later. Now, if you want a glimmer of hope, if you are looking to see the Big 12 hang on here, then there's some good news coming out of this meeting. The eight members did come out with a statement saying they strongly desire to retain the current composition of the conference, which has proven it can compete at the highest levels. And that is true, by the way. I mean, you know, Baylor won a national championship in basketball. You look at football and, you know, we know what even locally Kansas State's done. It's been almost 10 years now since the Colin Klein era, but we know what they've done. Oklahoma, who's gone, but Iowa State's very good. And Oklahoma State has almost played for a national championship. So we know what this conference is capable of outside of Oklahoma and Texas athletically. So I admire that they are trying to keep this thing together. Now, do I think that behind the scenes, KU is making calls? Absolutely, they'd be dumb not to. I mean, KU is a better fit for the Big Ten than it probably is for the Pac-12 out west, but I guarantee they're making calls. They'd be foolish not to. Iowa State's probably begging the Big Ten at this point. West Virginia's probably begging the ACC. Oklahoma State's trying to figure out what the heck it's going to do, same with Texas Tech and everybody else. So I just wonder if that's putting up a solid front while behind the scenes everyone's like, oh, where can I go? Get me out of here. Somebody save me. Bail me out. Like, I wonder if that's actually what's happening. But at least they put on a solid front. Now, something else that came out of this meeting as well is that the Big 12 is not just going to let Texas and Oklahoma walk whenever they want. They've got a TV contract that runs through 2025. And in the statement, the Big 12 said there is a recognition that institutions may act in their own self-interest. However, there is an expectation that members adhere to the conference bylaws and the enforcement of grant of rights agreements, which means a couple of things. Stay around until 2025, and if not, we need 18 months notice, and it's going to cost Oklahoma and Texas about $70 million each. Not total, each, to get out. Even for those schools, that is big, big money. So this could get ugly, by the way. You could have this conference intact for the next couple of years while everybody hates each other. And while there's a lot up in the air in terms of what the conference's future is going to be. But how does this get solved, or how does this get prevented? At this point, the SEC needs 11 of 14 teams to vote to add Oklahoma and Texas. I think they got those votes. Even Mizzou, outside of Texas A&M, even Mizzou appears to be on board with this. And why wouldn't they be, by the way? I mean, Mizzou's just happy to be at the party, right? And that's not a knock on Mizzou. It's just reality. The fact that Mizzou's in the SEC, they got in at the right time. I'm not sure they get in today. They got in at the right time. And they're like the uncool kid at the cool kid party who's just like, they're happy to stand in the corner with a beer and watch everybody. All right, that's it. They're not going to win any national titles in football. It's not going to happen, but they're happy to be at the party.
And so you're saying they're the walk-on.
Yeah, yeah, they're the walk-on, John. That's exactly right. But they're there. At this point, the only way this doesn't go through to me is if the state legislature is down in Texas and Oklahoma basically prevent it from happening. And don't kid yourself. In those states, the state legislatures and the money that's involved and the pettiness that's involved around college football in particular, between Texas, Texas A&M, add in, you know, the powers that be that know Baylor and TCU and Texas Tech and even Houston, who's, of course, not in the Big 12, but has some pull. They may prevent this from happening to, if nothing else, maybe spite Texas. And in Oklahoma, you know, the Oklahoma State powers that be are a big deal as well in that state legislature. So that's how this could be prevented from happening. And then who knows what happens. But I think especially if you're K-State, and even if you're KU, you want the Big 12 to survive. That is your best bet right now from a football and a basketball perspective. Coming up next, the guy who knows, of course, K-State very well is Dr. Roger Marshall, U.S. Senator as well. We'll get back into the political realm with him, where we're going on infrastructure in D.C., and much more. He's coming up next. Well, we approach 9 o'clock on a Friday morning, wrapping up the week with you. It's going to be a hot weekend, by the way. We're going to be a scorcher, and I like that. I feel like we haven't had that classic super hot summer weekend, at least not in any back-to-back form. So we're going to be getting that this weekend across the Kansas City area. But as we do each and every time this week, it's time for Buy, Sell, and Hold.
It's time to buy, sell, and hold.
All right, John, you are up, my friend. What do we got?
Buy, sell, or hold. The NFL withholding game checks for COVID-19 cancellations.
They run this one by the players' union? Something tells me not.
I'm thinking not.
Sell, 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 sell. I mean, this is ridiculous, by the way. What this is trying to create an incredible amount of peer pressure on the non-vaccinated NFL players to get it by saying, well, if you don't get it, and we got a breakout, and we got to forfeit a game, which the NFL is saying, hey, if we can't reschedule you easily, the team that had the breakout is going to have to forfeit. You're going to forfeit a game, you're going to lose a paycheck, and then your teammates are going to be pissed off at you. Now, I'm selling this because, first off, at least half the NFL teams have an 80% vaccination rate. And then, secondly, as well, it's like forcing without forcing. It's slippery. It's sneaky. And that's the part of it that I just don't like from the NFL's perspective. It doesn't surprise me. But also, you're looking at some of the youngest, healthiest people in society, right? Like, let's not forget that, too. That's what we're talking about here. And the idea that you could take away a game check from a player who the average NFL career, by the way, is what, like 3.4 years? It's something incredibly low. Like, not every player is Patrick Mahomes, all right? These guys aren't all making half $1 billion. Most aren't. Most are here, and they'll be gone in 2 years. You'll forget they even played in the NFL. That's how the league works. You literally last, it's like 3 years at the average career. And to have that guy lose a game check, possibly, because of a COVID outbreak, when, by the way, we're learning, thanks to, let's say, Texas Democrats who went to D.C. on a plane and then flew back, that you can get COVID after getting vaccinated, that's just not fair. Because what if a guy's like gotten the vaccine, he's done everything you've asked him to do, and then he gets a positive COVID test or something? That guy can't get a game check now in a 3-year career? That is wildly unfair. I got to imagine the players' union is going to have something to say about that, John.
Agreed.
Yeah. So what's next?
Buy, sell, or hold. The Missouri VIP, the vaccination program, will move the needle, so to speak, for the vax numbers.
Well, that's the word, and that's the phrase, I should say, that Governor Parson used on this show yesterday. We had him on the talk about it. He wants to move the needle. Now, I don't know. He didn't really quantify what that means, right? It was just kind of like move the needle. Do I think it's going to move the needle? Well, it depends how you define move the needle, right? That's what I tried to get out of them, and I don't feel like we got that far. But the numbers in Missouri are in the 40% for fully vaccinated. So if he gets in the 50, is that moving the needle? I guess. Do I think he'll make a huge dent? No. I think that the people who are about to get the vaccine or were recently scheduled for it, I don't think that what got him off the couch was, well, I've got a 0.2 or 0.02% chance of winning $10,000. That's what I was just waiting. That's it. I was waiting. I was holding out for a vaccine incentive program. I was waiting for my chance to win the lottery. All right. I mean, you're better off going to buy a Powerball ticket with $2. Jeez.
I'd say move the needle is a small increment, a surge is a medium, and skyrocket would be our big one. So we don't expect this to skyrocket the vaccination.
No.
We don't expect a surge.
No, yeah.
But we might move the needle.
There you go, John. There you go. I like that play on words. So, no, I'm not buying the idea that your lottery is going to get people, definitely get them off. Because as we heard from people yesterday, if you're in the camp that hasn't gotten it, for some folks, this actually, in a weird way, makes them question it even more. So I didn't get the vibe in talking to you guys on the ground that this was going to make a big difference. But we'll see. I mean, I'll put it this way. Whatever this ends up costing the state in the millions, this is not close to being the biggest waste of money we've had in government spending over the past 12 months. It's not even in, like, the top 15. So we'll see if it works. If it works, great. If not, I just, it is what it is. So there we go.
There you go. Buy, sell, or hold. Oklahoma and Texas leaving the Big 12.
I'm selling this. And by the way, we have a new report that just came down from Kirk Bowles, the Austin American Statesman, that prominent Big 12 sources tell him the Texas OU move to the SEC is almost done. They've been working on this for at least 6 months. Texas A&M was left out of the discussions, wasn't told about it. That's why they're throwing a fit. The move could become official next week. I don't like it. I mean, Oklahoma's won 6 straight Big 12 titles. They made the college football playoff in most of those years. They're not winning 6 straight SEC championships. And Texas, which has been mediocre for the better part of a decade, is going to go to the SEC, and is they're just not going to realize what hit them in the face. Like, Texas is a pretty progressive place in terms of the university itself. They align to me more with USC than they do with Alabama in terms of what they value, in terms of, you know, what their principles are. Like, they don't die by what happens, live and die by what happens on the football field. Most of the SEC schools do, including Oklahoma, where I used to work. Texas is not like that. This is going to be, I think, a rude awakening for Texas. But as far as I'm concerned, good riddance. All right, good riddance. Mike Zinnege is going to join us coming up. He's running for Overland Park mayor. We've had all four of the candidates on this week, and he's been on the show before. He's the only Republican in the race, and he joins us next.